Take your Bible tonight and turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, we're going to look at two verses. We'll read them, and again, I think I will not be long tonight because we do have a business meeting. Galatians chapter 6, once you find Galatians chapter 6, why don't you stand with us if you would. Galatians chapter 6, I want you to look at verse number 7, a verse that many of you have heard many, many times. Galatians 6, 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." There is where we get, and many other places, the concept of sowing and reaping. Now I want you to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, I want you to find verse number 38. Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. The Bible says this, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Here again, we see this giving, receiving, sowing, reaping concept. And we see it in regard to our giving of ourselves, and by giving, it sets us up to receive. I call the sermon tonight, "Prayer and Reaping What You Have Sown." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. I pray, God, that you'll give me mental strength so that we accomplish exactly what you would want us to accomplish in this service tonight, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about one of the reasons maybe we don't get our prayers answered. The Bible, it mentions in the Old Testament, there's a passage of Scripture that speaks of David. The Bible says that while David mused, the fire burned. The word mused, that word it means while he meditated. Now, so in the Old Testament, David mused. He meditated. That word mused is part of where we get our word amuse. The problem is, in David's day, they mused or meditated. The word amuse is the opposite. Meditation was musing. Amuse is playing. We live in a generation of amusement. David lived in a generation of musement, where he meditated and he thought and spent time mentally and spiritually with God. Today, everybody wants to be amused. Now, there are reasons why I think we don't get our prayers answered. I know, the Bible is a book that never contradicts itself. It never contradicts itself. This book does not work against itself. Each truth in the Bible interlocks with another truth, a bit like a jigsaw puzzle. You take a piece of the puzzle, and you put it down on the table. There's another piece that fits into it, and they work together to draw the big picture. That's exactly how the Bible works. There's a truth from the Bible that's a piece of God's puzzle for the will of His will for your life. And then there's another piece. It's not like the first piece, but it's a part of the overall picture, and it all fits together. Each truth is a little bit like gears. If you've seen gears, they come together. One truth meshes with another truth, and that it's what moves you forward in the Christian life. Each truth from the Bible, it's almost like the ingredients for a recipe. You get all the right ingredients and the right proportions, you can have a delicious cake. And that's what God does with His Word. Now, many of God's promises, you have to understand, they have what I'd call prerequisites. It's almost like with God, it's almost like a chess game. I don't know how many of you play chess or checkers, but I would make a move and then Mrs. Owens makes a move. I make a move and then Mrs. Owens makes a move. With God, in the Christian life, it's many times like you're almost sitting across the table from God at a checkerboard. You make a move and God makes a move. You make a move and God makes a move. And so you know, it's always your move. It's always, God's always waiting on you to make the next move. And remember, I think the Christian life and throughout the Bible, there are prerequisites. The word, that prefix, P-R-E, means before, something that's expected of you before God makes His move, if you will. There's a passage of Scripture that says, knock. That's your part. And it shall be opened unto you. That's God's part. God said, I'm not going to open the door till you knock. So God said the prerequisite to my opening the door is you knocking on that door. You knock, God answers. The Bible talks, it uses the word seek. We're to seek God. That's your part. That's my part. Then it says, and ye shall find. That's God's part. But I have to seek, and then God will reveal what I'm to find. Ask, and ye shall receive. Ask, that's my part. Then I'm going to receive from God, but I have to ask to be able to receive. The Bible says, give, and then it shall be given unto you. Give, that's my part. Then after I've given, I can get what God would give unto me. And so, I think there are many prerequisites in the Bible. I think there are prerequisites, expectations, things that God wants to receive from me, so I then in turn can get what God has for me. And I think it's that way in prayer tonight. I hope that you'll listen. I'm gonna simplify something. It won't take very long, but I think it's a very interesting concept about sowing and reaping and the subject of prayer in our life. First of all, let me start out in the simplest way. Number one, prayer is asking. Prayer is asking. Luke 11:9, it says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Now, the whole text of Luke chapter 11 is all about prayer. That entire chapter. So God said, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. In most places in the Bible, the word ask and the word prayer are interchangeable. Now, I don't think we ought to go changing the wording of the Bible, but what I'm telling you is most of the places where we're asking something of God, it's equal to praying to God about something. Listen to Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. It says that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. That word ask is virtually the word prayer. And so prayer is asking. Every once in a while you'll get with someone and you'll hear them pray. And they'll say this, oh God, I pray. Oh God, I pray. Oh God, I pray. God's saying, what? You're virtually saying, oh God, I ask. Oh God, I ask. Oh God, I ask. And God says, for what? Ask me, please, ask. Prayer is asking. Don't get mixed up about what prayer is. The word prayer doesn't accomplish anything. It's a description. It's God's way of finding out what we need or finding out what we want. God, and so you know, prayer is not the same as praise. Praise is when we're bragging on God. Adoration, we adore Him. That's not the same as prayer. Meditation, not the same as prayer. Confession, not really the same as prayer. I think you ought to praise Him. I think you ought to adore Him. I think you ought to meditate on Him. I think you ought to confess to Him. But prayer is when you go and say, God, by the way, I'm asking for a dollar. I'm asking for a cupcake. God, I'm asking. Prayer is asking. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, ye have not because ye ask not. You say, what is the biggest hindrance to prayer? Oh, that's easy. You don't pray. But you have not because you ask not. I'm going to give you some Bible examples real quickly of prayer being this thing of asking. In Luke chapter 18, verse 13, a publican in the temple says this, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He's asking for salvation. He's asking for something. He wants the mercy of God's salvation to being enacted in his life. Now, in Matthew chapter 14, verse number 30, Peter decided to take a little walk out on the water, and he took a few steps, he got out on the water, and he said, "Lord, save me." He was asking for something. What you say, what was he asking for? A lifeguard. He was in trouble. He took three steps out on the water, looked, and he said, "You know, this looked easier than what it really is. Help me, God." I think, you know what would have happened if Peter were going out there on the water and he would have said, "God, I ask. God, I ask. God, I..." He would have drowned. Why? He was supposed to be asking for something. So, those examples in Mark chapter 10, verse 47, it says, "Jesus, thou art the Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, that's specific. Somebody was asking for mercy. Peter was asking for God to help him so he did not drown. The publican was asking for salvation. So remember, prayer is asking for something. Number two, God has established a principle of sowing and reaping in our lives. Sowing and reaping. We read it earlier. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, we understand sowing and reaping. Now, not everybody might be in church a lot and hears that concept, but we understand it. You take a kernel of corn or a corn seed, you plant it in the ground, you sow a seed of corn, and you reap a whole ear of corn. That's sowing and reaping. If you don't plant, you're not going to get a harvest. You want an apple tree? What do? You plant an apple seed. You sow an apple seed, you reap an apple tree that then brings forth fruit. You say, all right, what happens if you plant a Cheerio? You'll get a donut tree. That's where donuts come from. If you're a blonde, that's not real. That's not true. Don't go buy a box of Cheerios. Well, the frosted ones are the ones that won't work. Something in the sugar keeps it from growing into a donut tree. But we understand the concept. We sow, and as a result of sowing, we then reap. Now, I think you believe in prayer, in asking. I think you believe in sowing so that you might reap. In Luke 6:38, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." What is that? Sowing and reaping. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, it speaks to us and it says, "Sow to the flesh." The result is you will reap to the flesh. This is what that means. If I mean to someone, probably somewhere along the line, somebody's going to be mean to me. If I sow meanness toward Jonathan, somebody, maybe Ian, will sow meanness toward me, because you're going to reap what you have sown. When you plant an apple seed, you will not have a tomato plant come out of that seed. You're going to reap what you have sown. So it tells us in Galatians 6:8, sow to the flesh, you'll reap to the flesh. It says, sow to the Spirit, then you will reap to the Spirit. What's that mean? Well, just like if I'm mean to someone and I sow meanness, I'll probably reap meanness somewhere along the way. But if I sow to the Spirit, then if I'm good to someone or kind to someone, somewhere down the line, I'm going to reap goodness or reap kindness. So, this is what we said so far. Prayer is asking. We find out that God has established a principle of sowing and reaping. Number three, is it possible that we reap what we have sown in regard to prayer? We reap what we have sown in regard to prayer. Remember, prayer is asking. And we believe in sowing and reaping. Hey, let me ask you this, and make sure you're paying attention. Look right up this way. Don't be so busy taking notes that you miss the whole sermon, all right? So I believe me, I want you to remember it, but some people are working so hard at being able to remember it next week, they miss it today. Get it tonight. Does God ever ask anything of you? In a way, and please don't think this irreverent, in a way, if prayer is asking, does God ever pray anything in regard to you? Does he ask anything of you? Now, we don't get down on our knees. God doesn't get down on his knees to ask something of us, but I'm going to tell you something. If prayer is asking, there are a lot of things that God asks of you. Do you answer God's requests? Now that right there, I could stop there. Your mind should grasp what I'm trying to teach tonight. If prayer is asking, and we're going to reap what we have sown, and if God asks something of you, and you don't meet his request, what are you going to reap? You're going to ask for something and get what? Same thing God got out of you. And the reason why some don't get what they want out of their prayer life with God is because when God asks of you, you don't give him what he asks, then God is not obligated on the basis of the concept of sowing and reaping just to give you everything you ask for when you have not taken the energy to sow by way of giving him what he asks. Now, Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." You answer his request according to your ability, and then he can answer your request according to his ability. Guess what? If God asks something of me and I give my all, that sure would feel good if I would ask something of God and then he in turn would give his all. Are your prayers not being answered because you don't answer God? My wife, she has a little policy, something she's done for years. Whether we're in a hotel or we're driving up the road or wherever we are, if she hears sirens from an ambulance or a police car, she always stops and prays for whoever it is. She knows somebody's hurting or somebody's been injured. And she's done that for years and years. Well, we were in our hometown one day, and we heard the sirens of an ambulance, and she stopped and prayed. Well, we did not realize it. She got a telephone call about 15 or 20 minutes later and said, "Sherry, they just put your mother in an ambulance and rushed her to the hospital." Do you know what? She was sowing the prayer of protection for someone. A little while later, she reaps the protection that she had been willing to sow. Because that ambulance got her mother to the hospital in time. I think she'd had a stroke and got her to the hospital in time that it saved her life. Now look, folks, we all say we believe in sowing and reaping, but I really believe that if we're going to ask God for things, when God's asking us for things, it makes sense. If we want our request, then we ought to be giving God his request. You know, God's a good God. He meets our needs. He's better to us than we deserve. And I believe that we do without our desires because we require God to do without his desires of us. You say, "I wish God would give me what I want." And God says, "I wish you'd give me what I want." God is not a credit card. God's not just an ambulance service that you call upon in an emergency. I was thinking of this, and I'll get to the next point, but my wife earlier tonight was working on a music project, and she really wanted to get it done, and she wanted to get it done before church. And she said, "Honey, will you help me with this?" I hem-hauled around for a little while, and I was walking around the house, and I thought, "I don't want to do that. I wanted to get a cup of coffee before we leave for church." And then it struck me. It had just been a few hours before. She had something else on her mind. I said, "Honey, would you iron my shirt?" I got to tell you, I hate ironing. I hate it with a passion. There will not be ironing boards in heaven. They're all going to the other place. I will guarantee it. And you know what? She had taken the time when she had other things on her mind. She took my shirt and she ironed it. Now here she's asked me to help her with her project. And I'm kind of hem-hauling around a little bit in my heart. And then it occurred to me, now you wait a minute here, buddy. You made a request of her and she answered you. Now, she's making a request of you. There's an obligation to make sure that you meet her request. You know, folks, if you and I have the common sense of humanity to see that, don't you think that applies to God too? So, I said this, prayer's asking. God then has established a principle of sowing and reaping. Is it possible then that we reap what we have sown in regard to prayer? I'm going to give you some illustrations. Stay with me. You say, oh God, I want my father to be born again. I have a loved one. So you go to God and in prayer you ask that one of your loved ones be born again. Guess what? He requested that you try to get somebody else's loved one saved. You say, why isn't God answering my prayer? Have you answered God's prayer? God wants you to go tell somebody else's family about Jesus while you're begging for your family to be saved. Are we possibly limiting our reaping by not sowing? Are we possibly limiting our prayer being answered because we won't give God what He asks of us? Hey, doesn't it make sense? I'll give you some good advice. You say, I have a family member. I would love to see them get saved. I'll tell you what I'd do if I were you. I'd go to everybody else's family and try to get all of them saved that you possibly can. Then turn to God and say, hey, God, I'd love to have this family member saved. I wonder if God turned and said, well, why should I? You say, well, I can't seem to get them saved, but I got a bunch of those other people's family saved. I think God's going to say, you got me there. You got me there. Why? Sowing and reaping in regard to our prayer life. You say, your request to God is, God, I need money. I need money for my rent. I need money to make my house payment. Okay. Did you know He makes a request of you? He requests that you and I give tithe and offering to pay the rent or make the house payment on the house of God. Now, you have to understand something. If you go to God and say, God, I need money for this. Well, God's asked you for money too. You say, well, God doesn't seem to be answering my prayer. Have you answered His? Have you given Him His request, which then makes an obligation in regard to the process of sowing and reaping? I know all sorts of people say, I just don't believe in prayer. I ask God to give me this, but you know what? In their life, they won't give God a thing. They just they want to take care of the welfare part, take advantage of the welfare part of God. God is a God of principle. Okay, your request, you want food for your family. That's a good request. God, help me feed my family. Oh, God, help me feed my family. Did you know that God makes a request of you? He said He wants you to share the bread of life with your co-workers. And I might also tell you this, if you go to God and beg God to give you food for your family, might I say God also has told you and I to feed the poor. So when you're having a rough week and you want God to provide for you, back when you were not having a rough week, you didn't give a penny to help feed some poor person, but you expect God to bail you out? Now, if God asks you to feed the poor, and then you turn around and ask God to feed you, I don't guess God has an obligation in regard to the sense of sowing and reaping. That might be why you're not getting your prayer answered. God makes a request of you, but then you want to make a request of Him and have never done anything with His request. Your request is comfort. You say, God, comfort me. Oh, God, give me comfort in my life. Okay, wonderful request. His request of you is that you comfort others. So you're going through a rough time and you cry out to God. Say, God, oh, comfort me. See, I just don't feel like I'm getting the comfort I need from God. Hey, when things weren't going rough for you, were you finding people that was having a rough time and did you try to comfort them? Well, why would God have an obligation to comfort you when you ask, when He had asked you to comfort someone else when they were having a tough time, but you were so self-centered and caught up in your happy life, you didn't give God His request of you? Can I tell y'all something? You know, Cynthia and Melanie and Rachel are still hurting. They lost daddy. They lost a husband. And they're still hurting. And might I remind every one of us, if we're going to go to God to get comfort for ourselves today, you better make sure that yesterday, when God asked of you to go comfort someone, you took the time to do it. You're more apt to get your prayers answered today if you answered God's request yesterday. And that makes total sense to me. if when my daughter was growing up, if she wanted some money for something, she learned very, very quickly. She'd come and say, "Daddy, I want some money. We're going to have a youth activity. And I want some money to go on that youth activity." You know what? If I had said to her, now, Charlotta, earlier in the week, I said, "Now, you help your mom, and you help clean around the house, and you help her do the laundry." Now, if she didn't do that, she'd be real hesitant coming to me on Friday asking money for that youth activity. Say, why? I had made a request. If she did not respond to my request to her, now why should I turn around and respond to her request from me? And folks, I believe that sometimes we limit ourselves in our prayer life by asking for something that we're not even willing to give when others had need or when God had required or requested it of us. Okay, you request, you say, "Oh God, I want my wife to be submissive to me." You don't have to say amen there, men. Okay, that's okay. That's a scriptural request. But you know what? Every man in here, look at me. God requested that you be submissive to Him. So God says, "Sir, I want you to lead your family right. I want you to be submissive to me." And so you say, "Well, I'll be semi-submissive to you, God." Okay, so now you go to God and you pray, "God, help my wife to be submissive." And I wonder if God only gives her strength for semi-submissiveness. "Well, that's not what I want." "Well, I guess you get what you deserve, not what you want, huh?" Listen, I think we are unreasonable. You'd like to say God's unreasonable. You'd like to say, "Well, I don't believe in prayer." Well, it's your prayer that you don't believe in. Prayer works. But I believe that there is a prerequisite to prayer. You request that your child obey your verbal instructions. You parents, you better pray that your children will obey you. Just pray it. Say, "God, please help my children to obey." But wait a minute. You pray and want God to answer your prayer of obedience in life for your children. Then you can come hear the preaching and the preacher can tell you something straight out of the Bible and say, "Well, I'm not doing it. That's for somebody else." Oh, but you let your son, when you give him an instruction, say, "Well, that's not for me, that's for my sister." And you say, "Buddy, we're going to the woodshed." Well, then don't be shocked if God doesn't take you to the woodshed when he gives you instruction through the preaching or the word of God, but you don't submit to it. So we want to pray and ask God for the submission of our children, obedience of our children, but we'll turn right around and not give God the submission or obedience that He commands or demands of us. Your request is that He answers your prayer. His request of you is that you answer Him. Your request is, "God, help get my family into church." His request of you is that you get somebody else into church. Your request of Him is that people are good to your children. See, I just want people to be good to my kids. God, watch out for my kids and help people to be good to my kids. And then you know what? The first time down at the church some little bus kid gets out of hand, you tear into him and you're yelling and screaming and intimidating and huffing and puffing like a big bully. Well, I've got news for you. If you're going to be a big bully around everybody else's kids and then pray to God that everybody be good to your kids, don't you see that you're a little bit unreasonable? Don't you see that you're requiring something of God that you won't even require of yourself, but you want God to answer your prayer? Your request. You say, "My request is I want peace in my family. I want peace in my family." What a great request. Let me ask you this question. God requests that you be a peacemaker everywhere else. There's somebody in here. You're praying, said, "Oh God, bring peace to our home. Oh God, I don't want it to be a war zone. Oh God, I want peace between me and my wife. And God, I want peace between me and my children. And I want peace between I want my boys and my daughter, and I want them to have peace at home." Then you know what? You go to work and do nothing but cause chaos at work. You go to work and you're not creating peace at work. You're gossiping and twisting things and you're causing fusses and fights at work and fusses and fights in the parking lot. Then you turn around and think it's okay to pray to God and say, "God, I have a request. I want peace." Well, all you do is sow contention and now you want God to answer your prayer for peace? The fault in prayer is not God. The fault in prayer is me and you. We're the ones that wouldn't it be just great if we could act any way we want, do anything we want, then go see God and say, God, give this to me. He says, sure, no problem. You can have it. The only problem is he does not work that way. Because prayer is asking. And God has set up another principle that is a part of that gear. They mesh together. Asking and sowing and reaping is all a part of the jigsaw puzzle of the Christian life. Prayer is asking. We're going to reap what we have sown. It is possible then that we reap what we have sown in regard to prayer. And if God asks of us and we deny Him, we may have shut the door for when we ask of God, Him meeting our need. So you say, what in the world should we do about this, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you what to do about it. I would do this. Answer His daily requests. You should say, I'm going to answer God's daily requests. Reap daily because you answer daily. I think God has tasks that He wants of you daily. There's things that God requests of you daily. So let me recommend something. You say, I'd like to get daily prayers answered. Then answer God daily. You can reap daily answers if you will sow daily obediences. Secondly, answer God's little requests. Then what? Well, then I'll reap having Him answer my little requests. God wants something little from you. Don't say, well, it's little, it's no big deal. Wait a minute. If you're going to go to God and ask for some little request, God's going to say, well, it's not that big of a deal. Phooey on it. You want your little requests answered? Then answer God's little requests. You want your daily requests answered? Then answer God's daily requests. I'd answer God's big requests. Why? So you can reap God meeting or answering your big requests. Hey, what big thing in your life is God requesting of you? There are some people in here, God's really working on you. There's something very big that God wants of you. Some big change in your life. Maybe something you need to give up to separate yourself from the world. Maybe some step up on the ladder of success. God wants that of you. Now look, if you are willing to answer or to submit to God in His big request of you, I'm going to guess when you turn to Him, say, God, by the way, I have a big request. I think He's going to remember this process of sowing and reaping. So, what am I to do? I'm going to answer His daily requests so I can have my daily requests answered. I am going to answer His little requests of me. Why? So I can get my little prayers answered. I'm going to ask His big requests of me. Why? So I can reap having my big requests answered. Hey, you know what I'll do? I think I'm going to answer quickly. God speaks to your heart. There's some of you, you've been praying for years about obeying God in that area. You call it patience and seeking God. Boy, you're driving circles out in some field spiritually. Maybe you ought to just do what God wants. Boy, I think there's sometimes if God requests something and it's right, I think you ought to give it to Him quickly. You don't have to play a mental chess game with God. What you're really doing is calculating what it's going to cost you. Seeing how long you can keep what you should have given up because you're doing it in the flesh instead of being spiritual. But listen, what can we do? Well, I think if I want God to answer me a little more quickly, it might be good that I answer God a little more quickly. Well, you hear a scripture preached and you know for a fact that God has dealt with your heart and there's something there that ought to change about you. Why do you take 5 months to change it? Why don't you just say, okay, God, you said it. It's in the Bible. It's the right thing. You got it. But don't you be shocked if you go to God and say, God, there's something I wanted of you. And God said, give me a couple years on that. Then you're going to say, well, I don't believe in prayer. The person you shouldn't believe in is you. You're the one that sets yourself up for the failure. Oh, but wonder if God speaks to your heart and you say, okay, God, you want it, you can have it, it's yours. Then you go to God this week and you say, God, by the way, there's something that I needed. God might say, I can get right on that. Because you got right on it when I made a request of you. And God believes in sowing and reaping. He's the one that invented the concept. Hey, if I were you, I would answer him by going the extra mile. Did you know that he can give you more than what you ask? Wonder if God asks something of me. And I say, you know what, God? I'm not going to walk a mile with you. I'm going to walk two. And I know you only wanted a mile. God said, wow, thank you. So then I go to God at the end of the week and say, God, there's something I needed. He said, no problem. Matter of fact, let's double it. Let's double it. I can beat that. I can give you even more. I'll give you more than what you asked for. But how did I qualify for that? Because I gave more than what he asked for. Some of you spend way too much time in your life just walking the line. I say, I don't want to give in on anything. I don't have to give in. I want to keep as much of the world as I can without feeling like I'm sinning against God. What if you would say, you know what, God, I'm coming all the way over. I'm coming all the way in. You might not command this of me, but I'm willing to go the extra mile. But if you want God to go the extra mile when you ask for something of God, then you need to be willing to go the extra mile when God asks something of you. What would happen if you answered all of his requests? I wish I could say, God's given me everything I've ever prayed for. But boy, I've been around some spiritual people that say, God answers my prayers all the time. Wow. But how would one qualify? Well, I guess if sowing and reaping is true, and it is, I would guess if I'm busy giving God everything he asks of me, then God would be pretty good at giving me what I ask of him. He'd give me anything that was good for me. Wonder if you spent your life searching for his requests. Wonder if all day long you said, I wonder what God wants now. I wonder what God wants now. I'm in my Bible reading. I want to figure out what God wants so I can give it to him. During the preaching, I'm going to figure out what God wants so I can give it to him. Oh, I want to be so submissive to the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine reaping God looking over you that way? What if God was sitting on the edge of his throne saying, I'm going to keep an eye on Jeff Owens. Anything he wants, I'm going to give it to him. Matter of fact, I'm going to spend the whole day long trying to figure it out. If I even notice that he even kind of hints a little bit, I'm going to give it to him because I want to make sure I'm going to take care of him. If sowing and reaping is true, if you and I would be as concerned about giving God what he wants, I think we could find our God being a little more concerned about our getting what we want. And so you all know God's supposed to come first anyway. If God never gave you anything, you ought to be searching for his will and desire his will. But guess, I'm so glad that God puts this reward to it. God said, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and ye shall receive. But don't forget, if anybody deserves submission, God deserves ours. Search for those requests. I just got to thinking. I wonder if one of the reasons we don't get our prayers answered is because the prerequisite of our answering God's requests, qualifying us for God to answer ours. I think God answers prayers even when we don't qualify. He's a great God. But I think you would do yourself a tremendous service by getting the prerequisite. You fulfill his request. You're more apt to have a higher percentage of your requests being met. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I want to recommend Jesus to you. If you died tonight and you don't know for a fact you're going to heaven, you ought to get born again. You ought to trust Jesus so you can go to heaven when you die. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, preacher, if I died tonight, I don't know. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I don't know if I'd go to heaven if I died. Pray for me. I'm not sure of that. Would you raise your hand and say, I don't know. I don't know if I'm saved. God bless you. Anyone else, you say, I don't know. Don't know if I'm born again. Pray for me. Well, let me tell you this. I'll do it very, very simply. The Bible teaches everyone's a sinner. The Bible teaches there's a penalty for that sin. The Bible teaches that Jesus paid that penalty for us by way of his death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible teaches that if we will turn to Jesus and ask him to forgive us of our sin, to come into our heart and be our Savior, we can go to heaven someday when we die. We just ask him to save us. That's called the plan of salvation. If you're here tonight and you'd say, "Preacher, I know I'm a sinner." If you'd say, "I know there's a penalty and I could go to hell if I don't get saved." If you would say, "Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I don't want to go to hell when I die." He'll hear that prayer and he'll answer it. He wants to save you. That's what salvation is. So if you're not saved, ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. Now, to those of you who you've been saved, you've asked the Lord to save you, how productive is your prayer life? I don't think by any means have I taught everything that you ought to learn about prayer, but I do believe we've stumbled onto something here. I do believe you'll get more prayers answered if you're busy answering the call when it comes from the other direction. Who here tonight would say, "I believe God's spoken to my heart tonight. I see that maybe some of my prayers aren't answered because I'm not busy answering when the phone rings on my end." Who would lift their hand in the sky and say, "God's spoken to me tonight. I need to work a little more on that thing of answering Him when He makes requests of me." You may put those hands down. We're going to have an altar call. It won't last long. If you're a Christian that needs time at this altar, I want you to come. If you need to be born again, if you'll just leave your seat and come toward the front when the piano begins, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Christian, do you need to come? Spend a moment in prayer and say, "God, you know, I make a lot of requests, but I don't know that I've been listening for your requests of me like I should." Very simple teaching, very practical teaching, but I think it'll help you. I really do. It makes sense to all of us. Your child is asked to do something. They do it. Sure makes it a lot easier when they ask of something of you for you to say, "You know what, you were obedient, now let me reward that, I can meet your need." But when that child will not do what is requested of them, many a parent has said, "You wait a minute here, you come ask me for a benefit when you won't pick up your shoes off the floor?" And our Heavenly Father understands that. He created sowing and reaping. He created this thing of asking. Oh, I believe He takes care of us even when we don't do our part. I've watched God take care of me time and time again when I've not done everything that I should have done. But you'll have a higher and a greater percentage of success if you give Him what He wants as He makes requests of you, then you make a request of Him. You stand a better chance of having your request met. Give, and it shall be given unto you. James 4:2 says, "You have not because you ask not." Luke 11:9 says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you." Galatians 6:7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." For some of you, I hope not only have you learned something tonight, but could I ask, how about you do this? How about you think about what's your big request in life? You have something really big that you're asking God for. Well, now I want you to research your life. Is there something really big God has asked you for, but you're holding out? I don't know that you're holding out is what's hindering that prayer. But I'll tell you this, if you're holding out on God for something, on something big, but you have a big request, I might recommend to you, you give in to God in that big area. Now take that request back to God and just see what happens. You say, "Brother Owens, I'd just like to have some prayers answered every day of my life." Then every day of your life, you be watching for everything that God wants of you. You say, there's somebody I've been praying for years. For years that they would get saved. Well, let me ask you this. How often do you go get somebody saved? Learn to be a soul winner. Learn to take your Bible and show someone how to be born again. You say, "Well, I've never done that." Maybe the key to you getting God's attention is you going and He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You and I are to take the gospel out. Maybe it is if we'll do the prerequisite of trying to get somebody else saved, our prayer for a loved one's salvation, we might see it happen. You say, "I've just been begging God to help me pay this bill. Well, did you do what you were supposed to financially that God requested of you? Or do you expect God to oversee or overlook all of your disobediences and just give you everything you want, any way you want, any time you want, no matter how big or how small? And again, He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. And He answers prayers and takes care of us when we don't deserve it. But boy, we'll do better if we will fulfill the prerequisite obligation of answering His requests of us than giving our requests to Him. I think one of the biggest hindrances to prayer is that we just don't pray. Take time to pray. But look for God's requests in your life. Say, I need God to answer a couple things quickly. Then if I were you, I'd be getting on the things He's requested of you quickly. You want God to give you something tomorrow, but you've been holding out on Him in regard to requests He's made of you for months. But you want Him to answer you right away. And if anybody deserves right treatment, God does. If anybody deserves quick response, God does. If anybody deserves big things, little things, God does. The piano will continue to play. You pray for decisions that are being made. Pray for the meeting to come. But I'll tell you, the meeting to come is all about the decisions that are being made. That's what it's really all about. Think about it. Would you like God to just search through your day and just look for things to give you? Wow, wouldn't that be something if you just thought all day long God was saying, oh, I could give them that because I think they'd like to have that, and I'll give them this because I think they'd like to have that. Well, if you'd like to reap that, why don't you sow that? Why don't you spend your day saying, oh, I'd like to give this to God. Oh, and I could do that for God. And God would enjoy this, and God would like that. We do believe in reaping and sowing. I'll tell you what. Thank you, Mrs. Young. That's fine. And let